All right, Alexander, we have to do a quick update on Navalny, Nord Stream 2, and Angela Merkel. And I actually put a video on our other site, the other site that we launched. People can find Alex Christofori, just search for it. You'll find the link in the description box. But I put up a video, and I kind of said in that video that I really doubt Merkel would will pull back. I actually was reading an article from Tom Luongo where he was analyzing the situation, and he said much of the Navalny poisoning probably has to do with Nord Stream 2. Anyway, there is a possibility that Merkel may pull back, and you have some information on that, or you have some insight, some insight that there is a possibility that she just may scrap Nord Stream 2 because of the Navalny situation. What do you have for us?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, over the weekend, we had these very strange comments by the German foreign minister and the German defense minister. German foreign minister spoke about the possibility. He was basically, they were sort of very Godfather-like comments, you know, comments like you get from the Godfather movies, you know, Russia better confess that there's something, you know, they did something terribly wrong with Navalny, and if they don't, you know, there may be consequences, and we really hope they don't push us into doing something about Nord Stream 2. It was actually a very creepy sort of thing. And then the German defense minister, who was, by the way, AKK, the woman who a few weeks ago or months ago was supposed to be replacing Merkel, she said something fairly similar along the same lines, and was talking about the fact that, you know, she doesn't actually really like Nord Stream 2 and all this. So it seemed over the weekend that, you know, there was the sort of, the Germans were sort of going to tiptoe away from Nord Stream 2. And it did make me wonder, by the way, whether perhaps all this fuss about Navalny, this huge scandal that's been whipped up about Navalny, might not in fact be intended to provide Merkel with cover to walk away from Nord Stream 2. But then what happened was the day after, German business community got extremely upset about all of this, and they started apparently piling pressure on the German government. And now we've had all sorts of other statements saying, well, no, actually, we didn't really mean that we were actually going to pull away from Nord Stream 2. That isn't really on the agenda at the moment at all. So I think there's some attempts to use Nord Stream 2, or to use the idea that, you know, Nord Stream 2 might be cancelled as a way of putting pressure on the Russians. But I think there's a lot of pushback from the German business community. And as I said, there was a retreat by the German government today. And I was watching and reading some comments that were coming out of Russia, and the Kremlin, Dmitry Peskov, Putin's spokesman, just basically poured cold water on it. He just said, you know, as far as we're concerned, we've had absolutely nothing that leads us to think that Nord Stream 2 is in any kind of risk. So if this was intended to pressure the Russians, they don't seem to feel very pressured. So we'll just have to wait and see. There was something else, by the way, which the German foreign minister, Mr. Maas, also said, which I thought was quite extraordinary, which was that the Germans have had requests from the Russians for all this information about the poisoning to be provided, the poisoning of Navalny to be provided to their procurator general. So, you know, if there is a real issue, there can be a proper investigation. And the Russian doctors have said, well, you know, let's speak to the German doctors and let's have a, you know, medical conference in which we can exchange information, see whether we can agree. All perfectly reasonable things. And the German foreign minister said, well, you know, all this is perfectly reasonable. Of course, we will agree and we will provide all this information, and we've got no reason not to. And then he said, well, but of course, it may take an awful lot of time for that to happen before this information is given. So on the one hand, the Germans say, you know, we want an answer from the Russians at once. We want the Russians to confess immediately. If they don't confess immediately, who knows, even Nord Stream 2 might be cancelled. And at the same time, we're not prepared to share any information quickly. Of course, we understand and we accept how reasonable the Russian requests are. But you must understand, this takes long time before we can comply with it. So, I mean, you know, weird signals coming out of Germany. And I can't help but think that there's a lot of, push and pull within the German government, with different people arguing, and the business community taking one view, the economics ministry probably taking a very strong view, various German businesses really angry and pushing back, and at the same time, some of the more Atlanticist members of the government, looking for ways to finish with Nord Stream 2, and Merkel herself playing her classic game, sitting on the fence, saying nothing, being Sphinx-like, and waiting to see who's going to come out strongest. It's what she always does. She always ends up backing the strongest side.
All right, two questions to wrap up this quick update, Alexander. One of them is, actually, let me read you a quote. Let me read you a title from Zero Hedge. First of all, a quick update. Putin critic Navalny removed from medically induced coma as condition improves. So, okay, Navalny's now speaking, and it looks like he's going to be fine. Knock on wood. That's good news. This question kind of bothers me. Maybe there's a simple answer that you have, and then I'll throw you the second question. The first question is, why did Russia send him to Germany? Because Russia had to give permissions at the highest level to approve his transfer out of the country to Germany, and they gave it. So that's my first question. Why Germany? Why Germany out of all the countries in the world? Because they have the best doctors? Because they can handle poisoning better than anybody? I don't know. That's one question. And the second question, which maybe you want to dig into a little bit more, is what if Merkel does cancel Nord Stream 2 and walks away? What does Russia do? Does it go to the courts? Does it just say forget about it? Because I can imagine a lot of time and billions upon billions of dollars have been invested in this.
Absolutely. Okay, let's deal with the first. Why did the Russians send Navalny to Germany? Well, you know, the Russian government are pretty intelligent people, but they're not always completely intelligent. I think they expected that because Germany, they have reasonably good relations with Germany most of the time. I mean, they often quarrel, but, you know, they have a good economic relationship. And I think because the Russians also felt pretty confident that, you know, he had not been poisoned, I think they sent him to Germany thinking unwisely that the Germans would confirm that he had not been poisoned and that that would be the way to close the whole topic down. If they kept him in Russia, then, of course, the story that he was poisoned would have continued and, would have spread, and this would have been, it become part of the sort of narrative. So I think they thought wrongly and perhaps even foolishly that if he was sent to Germany and examined by the German doctors, the Germans would confirm that he had not been poisoned and this whole incident would be closed down. I think they were absolutely stunned that the Germans turned round and confirmed and said that he had been poisoned. So I think that was a major miscalculation. I think the Russians will not make that kind of mistake ever again. It shows, again, I mean, you know, we've talked in other programs, you've mentioned several times about how the Russians have a blind spot about Erdogan in Turkey and appease him repeatedly. Putin in particular has a fixation with Germany. He lived there. He worked there, as we know, when he was an intelligence officer in East Germany under the Soviets. He likes to drink German beer.
He speaks
German fluently. He sent his two daughters to a German language school. He loves Germany, and I think this blinds him to the fact that the Germans are not always reliable, and it also blinds him to the fact, which by now he really ought to know, that Merkel is absolutely not someone to be trusted. So I think he made that major mistake. And, you know, not everybody is clever all the time. I think Putin is basically a clever man. But, you know, you were talking a few weeks ago, I remember, on a video in which you said that, you know, there's some signs that he's losing his touch. I think on this one, you could say that. I mean, he made a mistake. Any way around it. Now, about the cost of Nord Stream 2, the Russians have spent around $10 billion on building up Nord Stream 2. So it's a big investment. It's a major strategic investment from their point of view, because obviously it was their way of bypassing Ukraine. It was also their way of forging closer economic and ultimately political links to Germany. As I said already, Putin has this very strong sense of feeling about Germany and wants to have good relations with Germany. So I think for the Russians, it will be a major psychological blow if Nord Stream 2 goes, and it will be especially so for Putin. Economically, oddly enough, apart from the wasted costs, it probably won't mean so much, because the thing to understand is that if Nord Stream 2 doesn't go ahead, it doesn't mean that the gas flow from Russia to Europe will stop or even slow down significantly. It will just mean that much of it will continue to go through Ukrainian pipelines. Now, the Russians don't want that. They don't trust Ukraine. They don't want to see Ukraine get transit fees. There's been all that issue. But I think ultimately, I mean, it won't make a massive difference. And Gazprom's major expansion programs now are with China. So $10 billion lost, bad blow for Russia. It's a lot of money. I mean, obviously, they now have $600 billion in their foreign reserves. So it's not a calamitous blow, but still a blow financially. Deeply humiliating for them. Very embarrassing and upsetting for Putin personally. But economically, in terms of, you know, Russia from one day to the next, won't make a huge amount of difference. But, you know, they don't want that to happen. They'll be upset if it does happen. I think they will walk away. I don't think they will sue, because I think they will calculate that nothing very much would be achieved by doing so. The Russians will be very upset. I think a lot of people in Germany will also be very upset. The thing to always understand about Nord Stream 2 is that the proposal did not come from Russia. It came from Germany. Back in 2014, when the Southeast Europeans, Bulgaria and the rest, cancelled South Stream, the South Stream pipeline that was going to go from Russia to Bulgaria under the Black Sea, the Russians said they were not going to build any more pipelines directly to European Union countries. And that was the policy. And then Merkel came along, and with a whole lot of people from German industry and Gerhard Schroeder and all those others in 2015. And they said to the Russians, well, you know, we'd like to have Nord Stream 2. And I think perhaps looking back on it, the Russians will regret that they made that decision, but, you know, they changed the policy. And they agreed to go ahead with Nord Stream 2. Now, the reason the Germans did that is because Merkel, in her usual classic way of appeasing various lobbies in Germany, has appeased the Greens by closing down the German nuclear industry. She's closed down the German coal industry. Germany is trying to keep its carbon in targets. Apparently, renewable energy is pretty well maxed out in Germany now. If you go to parts of Germany, the place is just infested, sorry to use the word, infested with windmills. It's quite, you know, extraordinary to see. So apparently at the moment that's maxed out. So they said to themselves, how are we going to keep both our energy targets and our carbon targets? Well, there's only one way to do it, and that's by importing more Russian gas. So they went to Russia and persuaded the Russians to change their policy and to build Nord Stream 2. So there will be a lot of people in Germany who will say once again, if it is cancelled, that Merkel is getting herself out of political problems with various with the Atlanticists and the neoliberals and all those, at the expense of Germany's own vital interests. She closed down the nuclear power industry too quickly. She ran down the coal industry too fast. And she, by cancelling Nord Stream 2, she will be leaving Germany short of options. But there we are. I think that Merkel doesn't care, because she's not going to be chancellor for more than a year. Putin will care.
I wonder if, when all is said and done, if Merkel walks away, if Putin doesn't kind of egg on Erdogan and Turkey to continue to cause trouble in the Mediterranean in order to just kind of, you know, stick his middle finger at what the EU did to did to Russia with Nord Stream 2, what the U.S. did to Russia with Nord Stream 2, because the U.S. is firmly supporting the East Med in the Mediterranean to get the natural gas from there to Europe. So I wonder if
it's entirely possible.
Just throwing it out there that maybe he says, Erdogan, keep on, causing problems in the Mediterranean.
It's entirely possible, because he also knows that, Erdogan has leverage over Merkel. So, that Merkel is very sensitive to whatever Erdogan does, because there's a large Turkish community in Germany. So he could very well do that. And the thing to understand is that Putin will be livid. This will hurt him. It will hurt him psychologically. Because, as I said, he counts too much on Germany. It's a blind spot that he's had. He's always wanted, he's hankered after good relations with Germany. And I think he's made sacrifices to achieve that. And if he's spurned, wrath and being scorned and all that, I think he will be very upset and very angry. And I think he will want to get back at Merkel specifically and at the Germans in general.
Yeah, well, there was a time when Putin had very good relations with Germany and with Italy, when it was the Putin Schroeder Berlusconi kind of trifecta there, but yeah, that fell apart.
This is the thing. Yes, I think this is extremely delusional of him. You see, there was this period between after he became president of Russia, when there was about 4 years when he had very good relations with Germany under Schroeder, Italy with Berlusconi, and France under Chirac. And somehow he's got stuck with the idea that if he waits long enough, those happy days will come again. I think as a result, he makes mistakes, because especially with the Germans, where, as I said, he has a particular feelings about Germany. He constantly thinks that, if he just waits long enough, if he's gracious enough, if he's polite enough, if he's reasonable enough. He often gives interviews, by the way, to the German media, that, they'll put aside their feelings and they'll come round. And by the way, there's an awful lot of Germans who do want to do that. There's very big German investment in Russia. There's lots of Germans speak Russian. There's lots of interest in Germany amongst the business and commercial world to develop good relations with Russia. But the political class in Germany is Atlanticist. And I don't think Putin has ever managed to really grasp that. Schroeder was the exception, not the rule. And Merkel is much more the rule than Schroeder. So I don't think he's ever really understood that. And as I said, it's led him into error. I'm sorry to say this. Whatever, I'm not sorry to say it. It is a simple statement of fact that being absolutely cold and objective about your policies is the right way to go. I think it was John Forster Dulles who once said that, the United States doesn't have friends, it has interests. And that's the correct policy for any state. If you start, making sentimental assumptions on goodwill by other people towards you, you're going to expose yourself to disappointment and trouble. And over this issue with Nord Stream 2, it might even come to that. I'm not sure that it will yet. As I said, there's a lot of pushback from German business, but it's possible.
Yeah, very well said, especially when dealing with Merkel. You need to be very careful.
Well, absolutely. Merkel, of all the people in Europe, you should be most careful of her. She's an absolute snake. I'm sorry to say that as bluntly as that, but she is. And anybody who doesn't know that runs the risk of getting bitten.
All right, we'll leave it there. Alexander Merkurs, thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on that red subscribe button. Hit that like, share this video. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation helps grow this channel. And also go to the Durant Shop, pick up some merchandise, magic mugs, hats, t-shirts, hoodies, all kinds of new things. I've actually got a Serbia magic mug.
You've got Serbia, I've got Britain. You can see there's a proud Britain. I've also got somewhere Russia. This is a smaller mug, but you can see there's Russia. And the country we've been talking about, Russia and Germany. So there, this is an enameled mug, the German one, but you can see the two countries which are at the moment having their little duel. The Germans and the Russians have odd relationships over many centuries, by the way. This isn't new that they sometimes think they'll be friends and they fall out and become enemies instead. So these are amazing magic mugs, the best in the world. This is the United States, by the way, you can see there, which is, by the way, it's become my default mug. It's the one I always have next to me for some reason. But anyway, there it is. Well, because I like the United States. So these are the best mugs in the world. We've now supplemented them with these smaller mugs that you can see. This is Greece. And we also now have the enameled mugs like Germany and England that you can take with you. They're perfect and ideal if you need mugs outdoors, as you know, I often do. I'm actually quite an outdoor person. So they are the best mugs in the world. And you will see we have all these flags. If you don't find the flag of your own country or of a country that you want to see a flag, you know, with a mug with a flag of, wait a little, because Alex is expanding the shop to a tremendous extent. But if you still don't find it, just drop us a line and, you know, we'll see what we can do. And of course, it's not just amazing magic mugs, the best mugs in the world that we make. We also make our shop has phenomenal, beautiful, amazing Durand shirts. Those two come with flags of many countries. Alex, I think, is wearing Russia, perhaps. It is indeed Russia. So there you go. So you will find Durand shirts with lots of flags. And again, if you don't find your own flag, wait a little and, you know, they will probably come. And we're getting embroidered shirts too. And we've also got embroidered caps and hats and truckers' hats and baseball caps, amazing hats. And we're also got our always our ebooks too, which you can find. And you support our channel by coming to our shop and buying these great things. And at the same time, you become their owner. So Alex will tell you how to do it quickly and come to our shop, buy these things and support the Durand.
You'll find the link to the Durand shop down below. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.